Alrighty, hi everybody. Welcome to the Monday, May 24th Committee on Environment and Energy. It's good to see everybody here. It's a little warm in here. Feel free to take jackets off, roll up sleeves. We don't stand on formality. Today is an education session for us. We're not here to discuss any particular legislation, but we are here to learn more about what's being done and what can be done in terms of plastic bag recycling and use reduction. You may recall that, I guess it was a little over a year ago, the county passed a recycling law for plastic bags, which was then eventually preempted by state law. So we're continuing our learning curve today. This meeting was specifically requested by Legislator Meyer, so thank you for suggesting this agenda topic. Before we get started, I just have a couple of very quick updates for committee members, just for the record. As you know, we passed a resolution to the PSC regarding the vegetation management. Legislator Rogowski and I, as well as Chris Crane and Stu Glass, met with three of the public service commissioners, I guess it was about 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago. And we did the same presentation, we did the same presentation that was presented here, and quite frankly, the commissioners were aghast. They had no idea what was going on. Apparently, their staff had not forwarded the comments from citizen groups. It was a very, very, very productive meeting. They were glad we came. Any follow-up to that, Marty?
For the record, we met with two of the commissioners, and then after they walked out of the room, the third commissioner came in. Otherwise, it would have been a public meeting. You know, three out of five. We had a majority, three of the five commissioners, but we didn't meet them at the same time, so we didn't break any laws. But it was very productive, as the chairman said, and they saw more. They're seeking more information, but it was amazing to see the disconnect there. For me, all the information has been sent in. Either they're not getting it. They really were quite amazed. The pictures speak a thousand words, and they were very impressed with the pictures.
This is my friend Jim.
So it was. So they, we slept down to the city to meet them, but they were very happy we came down there.
That's weird.
And it was very good. Yeah.
Are they one commission that could be on the chopping block?
No. Public service. No. They're there for the duration.
All right,
commissioners come and go, but the commission is there.
Yeah. The second quick update has to do with Indian Point. Our counsel, Chris Crane, and I, along with Legislator Testa, went to a meeting at Indian Point. Excuse me, guys, please. Went to a meeting at Indian Point a couple of weeks ago. I guess, again, about 10 days ago. Right, Chris? That they had a stakeholder meeting dealing with the water cooling tower issue and their water issues as related to DEC. And they made a presentation on what their proposed alternative was. And Chris and I invited them to come before this committee. At least in the 3 years I've been on this board has not had any formal dialogue with the folks at Indian Point. And regardless of what side of the nuclear power issue people are on, or the Entergy, or the specifically the Indian Point issue, we are stakeholders of theirs, they are stakeholders of ours. We should be talking. We should not be not talking. So we have invited them to come, and we'll let you know when that happens. The third item has to do with the water filtration plant issue, possibly for districts 1 and 2, that we've been discussing, and the fact that either option may pass the bond cap, so there may be a referendum. We discussed at this committee having a committee of the whole to bring all the legislators up to date. I briefed the chairman about it. He has agreed to have a committee of the whole, and it's just a question of getting all the players together. So those are the updates that I have from this end. Just wanted to get those on the record. Okay, today's meeting, once again, thank you again. We're talking about plastic bag recycling and reduction. I think I'd like to do this meeting in three stages. I think for the first 25 minutes or so, we'd love to have Matt Wallach from Citizens Campaign for the Environment to make a presentation. And then we'll bring our friend Patricia Broadhagen from the Food Industry Alliance up afterwards for about 25 minutes. And then with the remaining time, we'll just have a big group discussion, if that's okay. So Matt, why don't you come on up, and if you have a teammate with you, come on up and please identify yourselves for the record.
Cool. I'm Matt Wallach. I'm the Hudson Valley Program Coordinator for Citizens Campaign for the Environment. This is my co-worker, Maureen Dolan Murphy.
Hi, I'm the Executive Programs Manager for Citizens Campaign for the Environment.
And we're very first thankful to have us here today, and we are looking forward to giving our PowerPoint presentation on this issue. It's one we feel is very important for New York, Westchester, as well as, you know, obviously from some of our examples you will see, the globe. So we're going to start it right now, and I'll begin the presentation. And yeah, feel free to obviously ask questions, I guess, at the end.
Okay, just a clerical question while this is booting up. Yeah. Do you have an electronic version of this? You can send it to Chris for files. And
Chris has it on his computer now. So
all right, perfect. Thank you. Wendy, I think we're good with chairs. That's right. Thanks.
You're going to
continue to be disruptive here.
All right, there you go. All right, so I just started the presentation, the plastic bag. Is it going on its own? Or is it?
Wow, all right. History of the plastic bag.
Yeah, this is the history. In 1957, the first plastic bag is proposed for sandwiches. As you can see, in 1966, between 25% and 30% of packaging for bread is plastic. In 69, New York City begins collecting municipal garbage in plastic bags. 74, large consumer stores start switching to plastic shopping bags. 77, supermarkets start making the switch from paper to plastic. In 94, Denmark implements the first bag fee. In 96, 4 out of 5 grocery bags are plastic. And now in 2002, Ireland introduces the world's first consumer-paid plastic bag fee. The production of plastic bags requires fossil fuels. The production of bags require toxic chemical ingredients that produce unnecessary pollution. The energy necessary in producing and transporting the bags results in natural resource consumption and increased greenhouse gas emissions. And according to the UN Environmental Program, 225 million tons of plastic are produced annually worldwide. Some fun facts, or not so fun rather, plastic resin production has doubled in the past 20 years from 60 billion to 120 billion pounds. In the US, half a million plastic bags are used every minute. The average family uses 60 plastic grocery bags every month. Only 0.6 to 2% of plastic bags are recycled. The plastic bag has an average lifespan of 12 minutes, and every reusable bag has the potential to prevent the consumption of 1,000 plastic bag uses over its lifetime. Question, paper or plastic? And skip to the answer, it's reusable. Obviously paper, 14 million trees are cut down to make paper bags. Paper production creates water pollution and air pollution. Plastic bags do not biodegrade. They photodegrade, break it down into smaller and smaller pieces. Plastic bags litter roadways, clog storm drains, pollute our waters, kill marine life and bird life. And like the number it showed earlier, they do not have high recycling rates. Next section is about the dangers of plastic bags. And the first danger is they cause flooding. And plastic bags, they clog storm drains, litter roads, and pollute beaches. Bangladesh was one of the countries around the globe that has banned plastic bags. So this is 2002. And they cited plastic bags as the number one culprit for causing the 1988 and 1998 floods that submerged two-thirds of the country. And it was one of the main issues in Bangladesh is flooding over the years. And it was a shock to them to learn that it was plastic bags were one of the main culprits that did cause that flooding. They obviously have flooding, but none of the major floods that size since they banned plastic bags. And Maureen, you want to take over?
Sure. Dangers to the environment. In the International Coastal Cleanup, they found plastic bags to be the second highest debris item picked up on beaches throughout the globe. If you look at the numbers in 2009, and this is just one day in an organized beach cleanup. So in the U.S., they picked up 229,000 plastic bags on beaches. In New York, they picked up 22,000 plastic bags. In Ireland, they picked up 67. And that's because Ireland does have regulations in place that have a fee on plastic bags. Again, you know, plastic bags do not biodegrade, they photodegrade, so they just break up into smaller and smaller pieces.
Are there biodegradable plastic bags? Is that something that's happening in the
world? There is biodegradable plastic bags. They're made from corn material, and they only biodegrade if they're in a composting pile, not if they're landfilled. The same thing for the new SunChips bag. If you see, it's 100% compostable. If you compost it, it's compostable. If you throw it in the garbage, it's going to stay in the landfill.
Gotcha.
So dangerous to animal. You see strangulation, restricting mobility, disrupting digestion. Once eaten, the bags cannot be processed. They block the digestive system. The blockages can lead to a slow and painful death of starvation or dehydration. And then when the animal dies and decomposes, the plastic bag is left in the environment. Again, just to talk about the animals, they affect nearly 200 different species of sea life. It's estimated that over 1 million birds and 100,000 marine mammals die a year from plastic. They confuse it with food, especially sea turtles. They think the plastic bags are jellyfish, so they go to eat the plastic bags. They also found that a lot of birds will eat the plastic, especially off the water. It looks like tiny pieces of plankton, so they'll eat the plastic. In 2010, this is just recently, they found a gray whale in West Seattle, and it was had 20 plastic bags in its stomach. They did a study with North Atlantic seabirds. They collected over 1,000 seabirds from 1975 to 1989. 21 of the 38 seabird species, which is 55% of them, had plastic particles in their stomach. Again, they can't digest the plastic, so the plastic fills their stomach, and they end up dying because they can't, you know, put food. Many of us have heard about the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. It's in the Pacific Ocean. It's estimated to be 2.5 times the size of Texas, and the amount of plastic to plankton is 6 times to 1. So for every piece of plankton that's found there, there's 6 pieces of plastic, obviously causing huge problems for marine life and avian life. When they think that they're eating and ingesting plankton, it's really plastic. The amount of plastic present has increased 5 times between 1997 and 2007. And now new research is coming out that these plastic islands or plastic soup is more like it because they go so deep, we're not really sure how to clean them up. They're starting to pop up in all of our oceans, including the Atlantic Ocean, the Indian Ocean. It's wherever the currents converge together. So if you just think, if you refuse 8 plastic bags a week, you can save 35 bags a month, 416 bags a year, and that's 33,000 bags in a lifetime. So that's you personally and not your family. So it is, you know, a huge difference when individuals do take action. The impacts of plastic pollution have ignited a global movement to reduce plastic consumption and to switch to reusable bags. We work, you know, on various state levels and with members of the public to help make this switch. According to the EPA, between 500 billion and a trillion plastic bags are consumed worldwide. Americans alone throw away 100 billion bags. Every hour, approximately 200,000 plastic bags are landfilled and are ending up in our ocean. So Westchester County did pass legislation mandating plastic bag recycling, which was, you know, very key. Those plastic bags we can't put in our curbside bins because they end up clogging the recycling machines. So that's why legislation was necessary. New York State then took action and mandated recycling across the state. Unfortunately, we haven't seen the huge jump in recycling that we would have liked to see. It's between 0.6 and 2% of the bags are currently being recycled.
Why is that? as to reasons why it hasn't been successful?
We're not sure. You know, we find that people recycle things when it's convenient and easy. And one thing is that the bins are in supermarkets. It's not as easy as throwing, you know, your plastic containers out in the bins at home.
What does the state law say? What is the state law?
That supermarkets have to offer plastic bag recycling bins.
That's it. So it's still people got to voluntarily do it.
Right. So it's a voluntary measure. They have to remember to bring the plastic bags to the supermarket. The couple of times that I've been, the bins have been full.
They've been overflowing.
So obviously people are doing it. It's just not the numbers that we anticipated and hoped for.
And it's just not black bags. It's the
dry cleaning.
The wrap that comes on the dry cleaning. Mm-hmm. It's
never know what to do with that.
Plastic wrap on
magazines. You can bring that over to a supermarket. I never thought I could bring that
CBS
over.
CVS takes it. Any store over 10,000 square feet. Okay. And it's usually right in the beginning at Stop and Shop in New Rochelle.
Should just
right when
your
you
journey.
Come in, right there on the left.
What do I know what to do with my bacon?
Right after the Twinkies.
So I'm sorry, what did you do with the plastic bags? When did you get them? They take them to facilities that recycle them, and they make, you know, track checking out of them in different
melt
ways.
Them down. Mm-hmm.
So stores that give back. Bringing your own bag to the grocery store saves the consumer money. Stop and Shop gives 5 cents for every reusable bag that you bring back. Walbaum's gives you 2 cents. Pathmark gives you 2 cents. Whole Foods gives you 10 cents for every bag you bring in. It costs grocery stores approximately about 1.5 cents per plastic bag, so it saves them money too when you bring in the bag.
All right,
you know what? Let's hold that. We're going to do one presentation, another presentation, then we'll have discussion.
There's been other bans and fees implemented, you know, across the globe and locally here in Washington, D.C. and Westport, Connecticut. And we'll just go through a couple of case studies. The first one is IKEA. In March of 2007, IKEA became the first retailer to charge for plastic bags. They charged 5 cents. There was over a 92% decline in plastic bags. It was so great that the company just stopped offering plastic bags in its store, and that was a year later in 2008. Ireland, like we talked about before, they actually have about 30 cents. They charge 30 cents per plastic bag. They've seen a 90% decline in the amount of plastic bags, over a billion fewer bags consumed annually. And like I said, with the coastal cleanup numbers, huge difference between New York and Ireland as a country, with only 67 bags being picked off the beaches. Toronto placed a 5 cent bag fee in June of 2009. Within 3 weeks, Canada's largest grocery store released numbers that showed a 75% decline in plastic bags. So almost immediately, we're seeing that consumers change their behavior and start bringing their own bags to the grocery store. At Westport, Connecticut, we worked very hard in Westport, Connecticut to, they actually banned the plastic bag. They no longer offer that anymore. This is a picture on the right-hand side in Stop and Shop. They originally opposed the banning of the plastic bag, but after it passed, they put up this sign in the front of their store congratulating everyone for helping making it happen and really embracing the new law. So in 2008, they banned it, and they've seen a 70% increase in folks bringing their own reusable bags to the grocery store. It's estimated that 10,000 households in Westport now each use at least 2 fewer plastic bags per week. In 1 year, that comes to over 600,000 fewer plastic bags. Washington, D.C., just recently in 2009, their bag fee of 5 cents went into effect. Some stores report a fall off of more than 6,000 bags a week, and other stores reduce their bag supply from 12,000 to 15,000 bag cases per week to about 6. Dramatic, dramatic decline. Some stores reporting over an 86% decline in plastic bag usage. They actually set it up the system so the 5 cents went that was generated went to cleaning up the Anacostia River, which 33% of the garbage found in that river was plastic bags. So they have raised, I think it's $150,000 to date. And obviously the goal of the legislation is not to raise money, but to reduce plastic in the waterways and in the environment.
And the Anacostia River is a tributary to the Chesapeake Bay, which is, you know, just like Long Island Sound, extremely important watershed.
Gets a lot more federal money than Long Island
Sound. It does.
Yes, it does. So changing human behavior is the hardest thing to do. When the Long Island Sound did its first public perception study, it found that roughly 90% of residents agree that humans are severely abusing the environment. Yet, roughly 70% of residents do not believe that they do anything that worsens the water quality. In this case, it was particular to Long Island Sound. The good news is that the more knowledge that they had on issues, the more likely they were to practice pro-environment behaviors. So this finding, again, reinforces the need for education. And we see this legislation as helping with the education. You know, as soon as you put a 5-cent surcharge on plastic bags, you're in part educating residents on the dangers of plastic bags and on the necessity to switch to reusable bags. Particularly here in New York, where we have so many different and important watersheds, the Long Island Sound, the Hudson River, in upstate we have the Great Lakes and the Lake Champlain. It's so important for us to take measures now to protect these waterways. And for us, this is one of our top priorities, to protect our waterways from plastic pollution by reducing plastic bags. It's a very simple measure. It's, you know, cost-free, really, to the county, and it saves the consumer money. So, again, we'd like to thank you for this opportunity to present, and we'd be happy to take questions, however you'd like to, you know, work that.
Okay, thank you very much. I think just a little...
Can I ask a follow-up question? Or
yeah, one second. Just for the record, we're joined by Legislator Testa, Legislator Avenanti was here, Legislator Maizano, Legislator Myers, and Legislator Rogowski. What we're going to do now, just for a couple minutes, very focused questions just from the legislators on this presentation. Then we'll do a switch, and you'll do your presentation, same thing, and then we'll open it up to everybody. For those of you who've never been here at our committee before, just to let you know, today we're not discussing any specific piece of legislation. And the way we do things here is everybody gets a chance to speak, participate, and if we don't have time for it this week, we'll have another meeting. So we'll get to everybody, if not this week, next week. But we're here to learn and have a good policy discussion, and however long that takes, that's what we'll do. Okay, Legislator Maizano.
Can I understand the proposal better? So if it's 5%, how exactly does it work? Explain exactly.
5 cents.
5 cents.
So 5 cents per bag.
So I go shopping at Stop and Shop.
Mm-hmm.
And when do I have to pay the 5 cents?
At the checkout. So when you know.
So for every bag they give me.
Right.
I got to pay an extra 5 cents.
Right. Or you can bring your own bag, and then they'll pay you. Stop and Shop will pay you 5 cents per bag
and you
bring.
You want us to write a law that says that?
Mm-hmm. No, Stop and Shop already we'll give you the 5 cents. We're asking that you implement a law that would put a 5 cent surcharge on plastic bags or disposable bags.
Okay. So I picked a good one for Stop and Shop. It fit your model nicely.
Yeah.
Well, explain to me, you said, matter of factly, at the end of your presentation, that it's good for the environment and it saves consumers money. Is that true in all cases, or in some cases maybe it wouldn't be true that it saves consumers money?
Well, for those stores that offer you money back when you shop there, for instance, you know, Stop and Shop will give you 5 cents per bag. Whole Foods will give you 10 cents.
What about
per
all
bag.
The other stores?
Walbaum's, Pathmark will give you 2 cents per bag.
Are there stores that be covered by this law that don't?
Yes.
Right. There are stores.
So that will cost consumers money.
Unless they bring a bag.
Well, they can bring their own bag.
But if they don't,
then they would have to pay the 5 cents.
Okay.
But they can reuse the bag that they purchased for 2 cents.
I just wanted to make it clear that not all consumers would save money. Many would.
Bagless
not
consumers
all.
Would not save
money. Right. Listen, we bring recycled bags to Stop and Shop. We're very good environmentalists at the San Jose.
Except we weren't recycling your plastic. plastic.
I know, yeah, I gotta do better on that. I gotta do better on that.
Okay, legislators, any questions?
Other
questions?
I have a comment.
I guess a question. I mean, clearly, you know, you show all the examples. It's hard to argue against the environmental impacts of wildlife. And, so, you know, and I think we'd all be on board to want to do something kind of here. But my question is very specifically for Westchester County, because that's the only place we can operate. So in Westchester County, I would be interested in knowing, because if the ultimate goal was a ban or a fee to get it out of the system, today we probably burn, well, we do burn plastic bags. I don't know how many end up in the roadway, that's my question. To the extent we burn here, only in Westchester, not Rockland, someplace else, it's out of the environment. So I guess my question is, we always like to see, what's the problem? Let's fix the problem. You show a lot of information how plastic bags in the environment is a problem. In Westchester County, from its beach cleanups, whatever, can you tell the committee, you know, in some way in Westchester, is how big a problem is it? Because I have to believe it's a smaller problem than those counties or towns where they don't burn it, everything's landfilled or it's just out in the garbage. So,
a lot of plastic doesn't end up in the garbage stream. And one of the things that unique about a plastic bag as opposed to a plastic bottle is that it blows the wind. So, I mean, I take, you know, either the spring or the Bronx River to work every day, and I guarantee if I count, I would probably 15 to 20 bags alongside the trees. I also jog. I jog along the Bronx River when I exercise, and it's, Bronx River floods often, and you see the result of where the water line is, all the trash that's left over as the water recedes. And there is large amounts of plastic bags that I even pick up sometimes when I'm jogging. But it's for someone that's been involved because I with this issue, it's blatantly obvious for me how much plastic pollution is.
Okay, so your approach, okay, Mr. Chairman, so your approach for us here in Westchester is really the fact that we burn our garbage is really is. Not
it's
necessarily relevant.
It doesn't end up there.
Yeah,
correct.
Not
it doesn't
relevant.
End up there. And as well as the many flooding issues throughout the county.
That's fair. And Mr. Chen, just to put a question on the other table, I know we're not discussing anything specifically, but to the extent you are proposing a 5-cent fee, have you thought about, to get at this problem as you identify as jogging, that at the same time there's a 5-cent fee, and without getting to the whole political morass of the bottle law, but if there was a 5-cent, bringing it back in deposit, how many people would go along the highways and pick up those bags? And to what extent could you clean up the environment with that kind of regulatory issue? You haven't proposed, you're just looking for the fee. Would you care to comment on encouraging a cleanup? Because obviously the recycling law we have hasn't done very much. We've seen, I think, with the bottle wall, 5-cent deposit, I see people all over Harrison running around picking up, bringing them in. So we're pretty clean in the environment. We can't because there's a financial incentive. Would you have any comment on adding that to your proposal?
Well, I can just say that we've always been supportive of the bottle deposit law, the expanded bottle deposit law, placing the 5-cent fee on water bottles because it is effective. Mm-hmm. And just like we're seeing with this type of legislation, when you place a 5-cent fee on plastic bags, it is very effective. You know, between 75% and 90% decline in the use of plastic bags. I mean, just the case with IKEA, where they just stopped offering consumers plastic bags because the need wasn't there anymore. So whether it's a fee or a deposit, our goal is to reduce plastic in the environment.
Yes, thank you so much for this presentation. This is something I've actually been working on with the CCE, largely because of the incredible floods along the Long Island Sound Shore 3 years ago, where anecdotal evidence and the estimates were that 60-70% of what was in the very visible flood area was made up of plastic bags. Secondly, they were charged very much the plastic bags were viewed as a huge culprit in a lot of the flooding, because when they do go down, when they're on the roadways and they do go down into the stormwater basins, they form a perfect membrane over the grates and literally keep anything from going down the storm sewer drains. So for that reason, for the Long Island Sound shore that I represent alone, I thought this would be a terrific idea. Matter of fact, upon reviewing the Washington, D.C. law with the Citizens Campaign for the Environment, it became very obvious that this might be one way that we could begin to fund some Westchester County flood mitigation. If, obviously, probably not all of it since it's very expensive, but if we could do something similar to Washington, D.C., in which a percentage of the fee went back to the county and was specifically earmarked for flood mitigation projects, I think it would take us a long way towards figuring out a way to pay for a lot of this flood mitigation.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Don't go anywhere. We'll need you for the discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. All right. Patricia, why don't you join us? If you have a few of your colleagues who'd like to join us, I don't know that we can get everyone at the table, but please join us and let us know who you have with you.
Okay. Oh, don't cross the phone. Come back.
Come
here.
Thank you, Legislator Harkham. And also, just before I start, let me thank you again. I've said this every time I think I've come to any Westchester County Board committee, but I'll say it again because maybe you guys don't know. You're not watching other counties at work. I really do believe you have the most deliberative committee process, and I greatly appreciate it because you invite.
Did you say that into the microphone?
I hope I did.
We have a reporter here. Let's get that down.
The opportunity to speak under these circumstances is really appreciated, and I always feel that way, so I like for you to know that. My name is Pat Birdhagen. I'm the Vice President of Public Affairs for the Food Industry Alliance, which is the trade association representing the grocery stores. And I am joined today by Liz Chase Marino from Stop and Shop, and by John Ryan from A&P, which means Pathmark, as well as A&P Food Emporium in this county. And did I miss a banner?
Wallbunks.
And by Tom Ertz from ShopRite. Between these three and these three companies, I would say they have well over half the stores and probably more than that in terms of sales, grocery sales.
Normally competitors, sitting nicely together.
That's right. Yeah, that's what an association is for. So what I want to do is I'll just give you sort of a brief overview of our take on the bag issue. And then each of them has, I'm sure, individual comments or special expertise that they can go into. So let me say sort of basically three things. The first is that in terms of bag reduction, we're actually all on the same page. Bag reduction is not only environmentally sensible, but where we sit, it's economically sensible. It's a big cost in the supermarket business, as you can well imagine, is the purchase of bags. And so it has for a long time, before even these most recent initiatives, been a goal internally to do what we can to keep that cost under control. It's not an easy one, but it's always on the radar screen. And it is closely monitored internally in terms of bag usage. There are people in every company who could tell you where that's at. And so to that end, we have employed a number of strategies. And some of them now in concert with government and with our partners. And the first one, obviously, is reuse. And really, from where we sit, a reusable bag is clearly preferable. And so as you heard and as you know because you shop, these three companies all offer an incentive to customers to bring their own bag, and they receive a credit or a rebate on their bill for bringing bags back. And the good news is those numbers continue to go up. So that's a good thing. We also participate in recycling, as you well know. And not only do we collect, and we do collect any plastic bag that a customer brings in. It doesn't have to be a grocery bag. It doesn't have to be your grocery bag. It can be a competitor's grocery bag. You can stuff in there your newspaper bags. You can stuff in there your dry cleaning bags, your Duane Reade bags. Doesn't matter. If it's a plastic bag, you can put them all in another plastic bag and dump them in the bin. And they do get collected, and they do get recycled. So there's that opportunity to at least keep those bags that do go out the front door from going into litter or waste management. In addition to that, just as a sort of a FYI in terms of the amount of plastic, we use thinner and thinner bags so that the actual weight of the plastic mm-hmm. that's out there has been reduced fairly significantly over time. Customers sometimes get worried about those thin bags, but they're very strong and they'll hold a lot. And internally, and the members will tell you more about that, but they've implemented programs to train their front-end people, to train baggers, to increase the number of items per bag. Because as I said, that's in everybody's self-interest. It's a tricky one. Our front-end turnover is very, very high. And so it is a constant challenge, let me say that. But it is a program that's in place in all of the companies because it is, again, something that we watch. So we've sort of put together and are constantly implementing all of those strategies to keep bag usage down. There are a couple of sort of fundamental beliefs that we have about any strategy geared toward bags, and there's really just two. And one of them is that any strategy has to focus on all bags, all consumer bags, not just plastic, but paper as well. Our goal is to use reusable bags, to make the switch to reusable bags. We do not favor any strategy that would push the business from plastic to paper. It's been pretty well identified now that that's really not a good idea. That paper, in many ways, means more energy, more water, more waste, more weight, more space, more cost. And in some ways, they are less versatile, a paper bag. And customers often feel that they're less convenient. They are recyclable, so both bags can be recycled. But we don't want to drive the business to one bag or the other. We want to employ strategies that would drive it to reusable. The second sort of all-pervasive goal that we have is that any strategy has to apply across the board. We're here, you know, we always seem to show up, the grocers, and of course, you know, we do, in terms of number of customer transactions, we do a lot of them. But we are not the only people out there putting goods in bags or in plastic bags, and we already mentioned dry cleaning and newspaper bags. And so, in our view, and the state law does do this, it's all retailers, any strategy has to apply across the board in all retail settings. So having said that, I will tell you that we as an alliance have not supported bag taxes.
Bag what?
Taxes.
Oh.
Or bans for that matter, but the tax idea seems to be what's on the table. And we do that.
Just to make the record clear, there's nothing officially on the
table.
No. This is an educational session
for
all of us.
But it was raised. So I want you to know that, you know, we have not found ourselves supporting taxes on bags. Really on behalf of our customers. In our experience, customers do not favor a bag tax by and large. And in these economic times, I can tell you that nickels matter. It's as simple as that. We've kept track of what's been going on in the stores, and you know, we've seen so much more couponing, and we've seen so much more sales of private label, and you know, people really are watching their nickels, and it has not seemed to us to be a good time to employ a tax on bags. So we have preferred the strategies that I already outlined for you, and also those two overarching principles. So that's kind of where we're coming from. I'll stop there so that they do have a few minutes to expand upon some of those thoughts, if that would be okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Why don't we hear from the three of you, then we'll open it up to the table for questions.
Great. Oh, thank you, everyone. Thank you for...
Diane, please identify yourself for the record, just so that they can hear
you. Liz Chase Marino from Stop and Shop. Thank you for inviting us to join in this discussion. I must say that Stop and Shop, we are committed and embraced and trying to do our part as far as having some positive impact to the environment. We all here live on the same earth, and we want to... Our goal is to reduce the use of the plastic, and we've been doing it for quite some time, for many years. We've always had encourage our customers to bring back their plastic bags, whether it's the competitors' plastic bags, we'll take them back. Whether it's the dry cleaning bag, you know, we'll take that back, and we have those recycled to a third party, and it will be recycled back into the environment. And our philosophy has been one way to encourage our customers is to also use reusable bags. But if they bring back a plastic or a paper bag or reusable bag, you know, they will get a 5 cent credit at the checkout. We also have a training program for our baggers, and to Pat's point, we usually have a high turnover rate for baggers, but it's a constant thing that we're always trying to educate them, train them on how many items per bag they can increase in the plastic bag as well as the paper bag and the reusable bags. We have we have green captains in our stores just to keep everyone aware of what, you know, how important this is. With our associates and also with our customers. We just rolled out a signage out in our stores. It's kind of like reminding you, it says, don't forget your reusable bag. So we have them at the, you know, at the front end, you know, at the front of the store. You know, we're tracking that to see if that's having any impact in our customers remind themselves to bring their bags in. So we just started this a few months ago, so we're looking to see that. The other thing, to Pat's point, you know, we're always looking from an operational perspective that, you know, less plastic use, or, you know, that the cost of us doing business or operating our stores, it's an economic thing, and we strive to achieve that. You know, we're always looking at plastic bags that are more recyclable, or it's a lighter weight bag. I don't want to say lighter weight bag, but it's a thin bag, but it still can maintain the strength of, you know, of carrying certain items. And basically, you know, we just try to continue our efforts. We've been doing it for a number of years. We do cardboard recycling as well, and that goes back to our warehouses. We encourage that, and I think that's about it.
Let me ask you one quick question before you go to the two gentlemen, and the two of you can address this too in your comments. So you have kind of this rebate program where you pay people for bringing their own bags. Can you quantify what percentage of a reduction you've seen in your use of plastic bags or your supply of plastic bags that you order?
That's a difficult question to answer, because you have to look at it as same store sales basis, because if you see a 5% increase in sales, it's hard to look at your plastic bags are going to go up. So it's hard to measure that. You'd have to look at something very neutral. You could look at the aggregate. But you also have an increase in the amount of reusable bags, then you have a sales increase, so it's sometimes hard to see if the plastic going down. You might see a rise in plastic bags. But I can tell you, based on ShopRite, our tonnage in recycled goods that we get back to our warehouse is up in 2009 versus 2008.
To
that point, how much do you get for, I assume you sell the bags that are put into the bins for recycling. isn't that sold on a...
Yeah, that's what the market will bear. I couldn't answer that question here today.
How much that's brought in as revenue.
And that changes just like cardboard.
True, but since the time that it started, I'd be very interested to know how much extra revenue that's provided.
The other thing is on the bags, you know, our cardboard is managed pretty much by the stores and by the chains directly. They backhaul it, and it's sold, and it's a profit center most of the time for the stores. But the plastic bags, in many cases, are actually picked up and taken back through the supplier, through the wholesaler.
And the wholesaler doesn't give you a discount card?
Well, I don't know, but there would be...
Is that what it is?
Right now, the current market is
2 cents,
down to
2 cents
a pound or $40
a ton. And that's directly from the MRF and the other places.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's not a direct, amount back to the store, so they actually wouldn't necessarily know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I was thinking from corporate.
Right. Thank you.
Sure. All right, let's hear from the other gentleman.
I'm John Ryan. I'm from A&P Supermarkets. I'm a district manager for all the stores in Lower Westchester County up to Armonk. I've been with the company my whole career. Started part-time in 1972. I can tell you A&P is very, very involved in recycling as a company. A year ago, when Westchester County enacted that law by square footage, that was done in our store, that announcement was done in our store in Thornwood, New York. Our principal owners of A&P they sponsor and they started the Elizabeth Hobb Foundation, which is an environmental foundation, worldwide. So A&P has always been heavily involved with recycling products in our stores. We have those recycling bins at our entrances in all our stores. We also have the signage on those bins encouraging our customers to recycle bags. We do give 2 cents per plastic bag back at the register. And we really focus as a company on training our associates that work in our stores. And we measure items per bag weekly and monthly and publish those numbers for all our stores. So it kind of, creates that peer pressure. You know, what gets measured gets done. And we've improved over the years with our items per bag. I can't give you the exact percentage, but our items per bag has gone up. I will tell you, from 2008 till 2009, I know that. And a good part of it comes from, training our associates. And Pat mentioned we have a lot of turnover with our front end. A lot of our front end people are part-time. But when they're orientated into our company, they have video training and then they have live training. And they're taught how to structure the bag so you can get the most product in them. Pat mentioned that, we thin out the bags to put less in the waste stream. You know, we'll take 4 2-liter bottles of soda and hang it up on a hook in the break room, so all our associates know that the bag isn't going to break. The biggest one of the hurdles we have is double bagging, which is a prevalent item in our business, and getting the customers to trust the bags. We are committed to recycling in all our stores. I can tell you something that we look at every month, store by store, in all the path marks, all the war bounds in A&P in New York. So, if I can answer any other questions, I'd be glad to.
Okay, why don't we go to you, and then we'll go to the board for tables, and then or for questions, and then last 15 or 20 minutes, we'll open it up to the group.
Thank you. My name is Tom Ertz. I'm from ShopRite Supermarkets. I oversee the Human Resource and Consumer Affairs Department. ShopRite operates 7 stores in Westchester, currently, soon to be 9, one of which will be your neighbor here over in the city center come the fall. I applaud your passion in your presentation. It was a very nice, well-done presentation, and Wakefern, which is the parent company of ShopRite, shares a passion for recycling too. That's why since 1977, ShopRite Wakefern has operated their own recycling center. In 1992, we were one of the first chains to implement a redemption of 2 cents for returning a bag. So I'd like to ask you to update your slideshow.
I will happily.
Yes, because we're now up to 5 cents a bag, because that's how passionate we are about getting consumers to change their behaviors and come back with their recycled bags. We also, as Pat said, are pro-environment and pro-recycling. We take any bag that comes back. We're more than happy to do so. But we just choose a different path rather than a tax, because we do also believe at this point in time consumers are not looking for an added expense when they come food shopping. We seek the training path, consumer education. We have in-store HR people in all of our stores, and part of their responsibility is to go out into the community and do different types of educational and community outreach types of programs. So that's something that we pride ourselves in, too. The other issue on the table is the customer service element of the bag issue. And while we do, like John and Liz, strive to get as much as we can into a bag because it is a cost for us, we're also very sensitive to a lot of our consumers who just quite frankly don't like to have a lot of merchandise put into their bag because of either health reasons or if they're seniors or if they're low income and they can't afford to buy bags for garbage or bags for when they walk their dog or bags for any other reason. So we try to balance all those needs and also be environmentally responsible. The other issue to consider with the tax is some of the logistics. The legislator mentioned before how that would happen. Well, just picture yourself wherever you shop, hopefully a ShopRite, and we'll try and convert you in New Rochelle to our new store. And you're there on...
Where is that? Stop and shop for a ShopRite. It's a tough call right now.
Yeah, it's too crowded to get into. You can't get in. The lines are out the door.
On a Saturday afternoon, you've got a big carriage of shopping. You've gone through the line, and now the cashier has to kind of figure out, okay, how many bags do you have in that bag? And you got to start going through and counting. It's a little bit of a logistical issue. So, again, we're open to, working with the legislator, and we're open to ideas about promoting more education and training. But, we'd like you to be sensitive to those issues.
Okay, thanks. I'll open it up with a question, then toss it to my colleagues. Just note for the record, we're joined by Legislator Kaplowitz. First, I want to thank you all for coming and for being leaders in this field and, being good partners. In fact, we partnered with you and with CCE when we did the original recycling law. We all worked together and came together on that. And we worked with you on the dextromethorphan ban and the item pricing law. So thank you. I guess the question I have is, you've clearly stated you're all committed to reducing the amount of plastic in the environment. You've clearly taken private sector initiatives. We're in that typical quagmire as legislators, private sector solution versus public sector solution. Is there a middle ground? And I guess the question I have is, since you're committed to bag reduction, you're still figuring out how to quantify that, and I appreciate that, but their slide says, even so far with our best efforts with a state recycling law and your good efforts, we're still only at 6% recycling. So, we sit here as a legislature, as an environmental committee, making recommendations to our broader group of colleagues, saying, all right, this is an issue. It's clearly an environmental issue that we're all kind of agreed that we'd like to do something about. But what would your suggestion be? We've heard one suggestion. Is it solely a private sector based solution? Is there room for a public private partnership? I mean, what?
Can I answer your question?
Yeah, please.
If I may, here's how I'm sitting here right this moment. So I appreciate input. I don't want to do a 5% charge on the bags, but the evidence is pretty compelling that A, recycling is going very slow on plastic bags, and it's incredibly harmful to the environment. I mean, I think those slides are pretty damning. So how are we going to get from 6 to 50 or 60%?
0.6.
Sorry, right, even worse. My point is, I don't want to do a 5%, and I don't even know if I'd vote for a 5% at this time in this economy where people are hurting. So despite the overwhelming evidence, that's an issue for me in my mind as a legislator. But in the meantime, before we even deal with the 5 cents issue, how do we get up to a much higher number of recycling these plastic bags? How do we do this? Seems like you're trying, but we need to do better. So what do we got to do?
Well, I think maybe by having more industries represented in hearings like this, because to some degree, we share your concern, but there's a lot of other retailers out there who are not present today who use plastic.
Right.
And that would be...
The other thing is, I don't know where the numbers came from, but we all might want to see if we can take a better look at that 0.6%.
I thought it was 0.2 up to 6%.
It's 0.6 to 2%.
Oh, 0.6 to 2%. Okay. Thank you.
So I don't know.
We can provide you citations for that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, if you have different numbers, we'd like to see those too.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't have numbers, but we should all see the numbers and take a look at them and understand them, and whether it's.
Truthfully, though, whether it's 0.2 or 2 or even 6,
sure.
It's mm-hmm. still way low.
We'd like to see it higher. And again, I think it's true. You know, we take those bags back, but not everybody.
I understand. Them.
And so that needs to be run. And then there's the whole business about education and encouraging people to literally do the right thing. And maybe longer term, we can look at bags at curbside.
Are you saying, I'm trying to understand this better. Mm-hmm. We saw, you know, even in the slideshow, for the proponents of this change, they point out that the grocery stores are trying to do recycling, right? You get credit for
right,
that.
Right.
But there's lots of other big retailers, is kind of what
That's
you're getting
right.
at, like the Targets and the
Home Depot.
What are they doing?
Walmart.
Are they doing nothing?
Macy's.
Are they doing nothing?
I think Target is launching in 5 cents back. So they are doing some things.
Like,
you're right.
Like
some stores aren't
that.
Doing anything.
Okay. You know, chain pharmacies. I mean,
so, and certainly an education campaign could be much, much broader than just supermarkets.
Well, that's a fair point.
It could be a broad countywide campaign to really push recycling because the opportunities are there. And as I said, long term, and you know, I know these issues are all complicated, but where I live, we have gone to single stream recycling. And I was dutifully taking my... Where's
that?
Stanford.
Thank you.
Yeah. I was dutifully, and I can't even speak on their behalf. I don't, you know, I live there, but I don't know much more about that. But I was dutifully taking my plastic bags back to whichever one of these stores I shop at, and of course I shop at all. And
equally.
Yeah. That's right. I have a schedule. But now we can bag up our bags and put them in our bin along with everything else. And
so they changed, they must have changed their...
They changed their contractor.
Oh.
And they do single stream recycling. And so it's all post-consumer separation now. And...
That's the same in Orange County.
Okay.
Yeah.
What happens when they do that, and I can't tell you the economics of it or, you know, those other details, mm-hmm. but in terms of capture rates, they shot up.
Yeah.
They just shot up. Because it became very, very easy for everybody to do it. So now that's not, you know, that's a long term, and you know, obviously there's a lot more to it. But I now know from my own experience that at least in some communities it's being done, and the rates jump enormously when you do that.
Peter,
yes,
I don't know if I don't want to place this all on the grocery store people. I don't know who can answer this question, but maybe this committee needs this question answered. But can we get like a summary from our county enforcement officials on how our new law has been implemented and people not following it and giving citations out? I mean, apparently there's much. Is that Dennis? I mean, I don't know.
I mean, there is none because we were a couple months after doing it. We were preempted by New York State, so it's not under the.
So you can't even.
We can't enforce.
Can't enforce.
We were boxed out.
So who's supposed to enforce the law?
DEC.
DEC.
And do they send people around?
I don't know.
I mean, if there's other like...
Well, Jim, to your point, what could be on the table is the county right now is in the midst of drafting its revised solid waste management plan. So this is the kind of thing that we had them in a few weeks ago. We had that discussion with their consultant. They were just beginning the outline phase. And Chris, if you're out there, you know, let's make a note of that when we have them back. You know, we're having a dialogue with them now about issues as they come up. This is one we should send on to them because they're just beginning to formulate the plan now.
Because it's an interesting point, right? We have these nice people here today, and they seem to be trying, but if there's a I won't even say the names, some of these major stores that fall within the law we passed or the state law that aren't doing it at the same time. Why aren't they here?
Yeah, the bad actors.
Yeah, why aren't they here?
Legislator Rogowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to have to run next door to Public Works. But it seems to me I recall the legislative history of our law. There was some little discussion. I think I recall pointing out that Ireland, I think, has a significant fee. But I think we made a judgment. Let's try recycling.
Right.
Do this before we go to fees or bans or anything else. Right. This was like step one. And so we did. And to Jim's question, I mean, even within what I heard at the beginning of the meeting, without, you're right, there's other stores and what's going on, but within the grocery stores, they know what they're doing, and it's somewhere 2% or less, if I understood, the rate of recycling. So we can make a judgment, at least on one very large player, that, all right, let's go recycling versus fees and bans and see what happens. And it's only
Marty, can I interrupt just for half a second? We have an update on a figure.
This is from April 12th, and this is a report from Waste and Recycling News. And the managing director of the American Chemistry Council says that plastic bag recycling has increased, but there's still more that can be done. The Environmental Protection Agency estimates in 2008 that 13% of available plastic bags were recycled.
Still not a high figure, but it's
so better. So it goes to a question. I mean, you take our own personal experiences. We go to a store, and again, my wife's coming all the recycling bags, but with all the good work we do in carrying the recycled bags in, mm-hmm. we do not carry back. I got a whole bunch of plastic bags at home. We do not carry them in.
Oh, yeah.
I put my cat litter in there, other things I do with those plastic bags, but we don't bring. So in terms of, now you have some signage, but maybe the next step is the next step of, we did this law. Okay, how's it working? Because I know, at the times I go, I can't recall seeing the bin. I mean, I don't really look for it, but I don't recall seeing it. So it's a combination of not remembering to bring it with me when I go. When I'm in the store, frankly, I don't see signs. I don't see the bin. It may just be me, but maybe as we move forward, work is, again, working not with any laws or anything, but just in consultation, how well is, how many, the placement, the signage, the education, to maybe up it from 2%, and how can we get, again, it comes back to me, a deposit, how do we get people to remember to bring bags to the store? And then once in the store, because I got to tell you, I go in and out of the stores and over the last 6 months, I haven't thought about it. I haven't seen it.
The bins.
Oh, the bins. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me or the store I go to. I won't tell you what store I go to, but the store I go to.
How many times do you go grocery shopping?
A few times, but I don't see it.
And the numbers that I have tried to just sort of
CBS.
I don't have percentages, so I can't. It's just too hard to figure that part out. But I can tell you that over the last 12 months, our members have recycled millions.
Yeah. But it's still only 2%. So that 2% is not necessarily.
Well, because what is it? It's 2% of the bags that went out. We don't know what that count is. Is it 2% of all the bags in the county? We'd have to really work on that. But it is in the millions, and it is in the hundreds of tons.
Well, it's important because point of our law was let's see what happens, and if it's successful. Then one could argue, maybe we don't need to go to a ban or fee if it's working. So the question is how well is it working?
What other question?
I'm going to go next door.
Wait a second. I thought I saw a hand down here. Was it John or Mike?
I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
I just was curious, with the state law, to what level is all our completely preempted, partially preempted?
Preempted.
Completely.
Late night.
Yeah. The whole zone is now preempted?
Well, if I could just add, too. All of the stores over 10,000 square feet offer bag recycling. I know we were talking about that before. Even though some of the stores don't offer incentives, they don't offer consumer incentives, they still offer the recycling bins.
Are we sure of that, though? That someone got around and checked?
We did initially when it was our law.
But we don't really know. I mean,
we did initially
all do it,
when it was
know.
A county law consumer protection check.
Okay, yeah. Dennis.
If I could also just add to that, we have continued from the county level to promote the recycling of plastic bags, but not curbside because that will destroy MRF right
for
now.
For you, it doesn't work. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, no,
but
I know.
We collected, in the HRD, the Household Recycling Days in 2009, we collected at 8 events, 230,000 bags. So fine. Okay. This year so far, after the first 3 events, not counting the last one at FDR, collected about half that, about 115,000 bags. But so people can bring them to that. The other thing which we did on an innovative way, it's just at the same time we were instituting the law, is that we instituted the recycling of boat wrap.
Oh, yeah.
On the Sound. I mean, 42,000 pounds of boat wrap, and that was just from the Sound side, was recycled. This year, got up to Hudson a little bit too, but about 12 tons so far, you know, 24,000. But there are innovative ways to do things. But the one thing from a, if you don't mind, from a person on the street standpoint, most people, if I went up and down my block, 9 out of 10 would not understand that I can bring in the bag from my cleaning, from my newspapers, from my bread bag, from all those other things that you're doing. Mm-hmm. As Marty said before, it's not just a matter of knowing going in, but there's something I think in the education throughout that I think things could be done to zip that up, because you're doing your job in essence, but most people don't know that you also can bring in all those other things. So anyway, that's
occupied. It's just absolutely right. I mean, frankly, I didn't know I could do my, I voted for the law, and I didn't know I could do my laundry bag until today. I didn't know that.
But not your laundry.
I need clean shirts.
Yeah, but speaking of which, I have a really nice thing that I brought in a gift shop that you hang on your doorknob, and it's a really pretty fabric bag with elastic at the top and elastic at the bottom. It looks like a sausage. Yeah. And you just shove your dry cleaning bags or whatever in there, and then when it gets full, you take and empty it out of the...
Will you buy me one of those?
All right, here's what I'd like to do. We've got 15 minutes left. Again, this is not the end of this conversation. It's just the beginning of this conversation. So if for some reason we don't have time to get to everybody, don't get antsy. We'll meet on this again. We're just beginning this conversation. Thank you for your presentations. Stay where you are. Let's give CCE 2 minutes to not reply, but, you know, just if you have anything to say on what you've heard so far. And then for the last 10 minutes, we'll open it up for comments from everybody here or questions from people here. And as I said, we'll continue this discussion. We're not going to end it at 4:25. So.
I'll take probably 30 seconds. You can take another minute and a half. Well, first, I thank you. Those methods that you're doing in your stores are really great. I think one of the problems is the way plastic bags are used at the counter. And so, obviously, you said it's a challenge, but, you know, retraining the people that bag, you know, is a very important step. I mean, just anecdotally, I bring my reusable bags in there. I brought 4 in there. All 4 got filled up.
Yeah.
I think a loaf of bread or something, and it was double bagged, so plastic. And if there was a 5 cent fee for that one of those plastic bags, you know, well, I was very cognizant of it as a consumer, but the average consumer would maybe purchase another reusable bag and use it for the future, or just make sure, hey, maybe I'll squeeze it in, or I'll just take that one bag. So it's those are really great, but something else to change that behavior, I think, is that much more important.
I would just add that we, you know, applaud the county's efforts in the recycling law. We support the recycling law here in the county. We support it on the state level. We've supported it in, you know, other municipalities. And we really do think that the recycling law, in combination with a 5 cent surcharge, really does make a difference. You know, people that are able to recycle the bags that they do have, as well as there's that added incentive for them to bring their reusable bags, which is what we want. We want to drive consumer and change public behavior to bring reusable bags. And I think, you know, Patricia said it best when she said nickels do matter. They do matter, and that's why the legislation has been so successful in other places, and that's why people have, you know, switched their behavior and begun to bring reusable bags. And on the education point, we are, you know, one of the biggest proponents of public education. We have started to do and started to launch public education to consumers about the harmful effects of plastic bags and, you know, making that switch. And, of course, we'd love to do more, and we'd love to work with the county to do more on that.
Okay, ma'am, you've been so patient. You had your hand up for an hour. Go ahead. Please, if anybody is going to speak, please identify yourself so the recorder can pick you up.
Hi, is Carrie Isabel. I'm a longtime resident of White Plains and an environmental activist, co-founder with Susan Chang of Eco Neighbors of White Plains, an environmental group. And we are, among other things, discussing the issue of plastic bags in White Plains and what White Plains itself. I'm sorry, my phone never rings.
Yes, you waited all that time.
Never.
It's a nice ring.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to somebody else.
Well, I have to call you back.
Ma'am, did you have your hand up?
What? Yeah. So, my comments are on the issue as an environmental activist and also as a consumer and resident. And I see the issue, which has been stated here, that it's not only the supermarket industry, it's all the retail businesses. Just to mention one issue is that Costco, for instance, doesn't do any bags. So I think that's something that it seems to work for them, but of course they're unique in that. However, as much as I applaud the food industry as have taken the first steps about recycling and the issue of plastic bags, it is not enough, and they've admitted that themselves. And I think education is crucial. Education by the corporate world, as well as education in the communities, education by the county is crucial, because without education, no one will benefit. I'd like to take just a moment to share with you my observation as a consumer in the last few days in going to different supermarkets that are represented here. I went to one this morning. If I wanted to, I could not have found their bin for recycling. So that's one thing. They may have this desire to do the right thing, but the consumer is not aware of it and is not encouraged to. Another issue that I've observed is these, and I've bought a whole lot of show and tell bags here, the reusable bags that the supermarkets sell for 99 cents. 99 cents is not a lot of money, but it is. So I don't know how much it costs them to get these bags, but maybe if the prices were reduced, it would encourage people to buy them and use them. And even if they do have them, today at this one supermarket, I saw the bags being beautifully displayed at the exit. That's not the place where they should be. They should be displayed where you see them as you come in. And the education of the staff is crucial. In different municipalities, if you buy beer, even if it's non-alcoholic beer, which I sometimes buy, they will not ring it up unless you show your ID. So they've been trained to do that. On the reverse, they never ask you if you have a reusable bag. If you have one and present it, they use it. They should be educated to encourage people to buy those bags or to use them, but they really, that's beyond their radar screen. Double bagging still exists, and they really don't care what goes into the bag, whether it's one item or 10. So the education of the staffing of not only the food industry, all industries, has to take place, because if the end action of bagging something is done, in a haphazard, in uninformed way, this whole problem will never be solved. So, and I also take a little, I'm not quite sure whether I understood right, I have never gone into any of these markets and have seen a sign that if I bring in some plastic bags, I'm going to get money back for it. Is that what you're saying? Well,
you reuse the plastic bags.
Well, right, they're not paying you for recycling them, they're paying you for reusing
them. You don't have
them.
To bring a canvas bag to reuse. You could pull out of your purse two plastic bags right. and you get money back for those just
get 2 cents back.
How do I get,
Shop and Shop.
If I bring in...
You get a credit.
Yes, but I only get one credit. If I give them my reusable bag, they give me a 5 cent.
Right, yep.
Just one.
5 cents per bag. Per bag.
Never
all right, let's
okay. So,
let's pull this.
I don't want to.
All right,
so
thanks, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Susan Goodwin, and I'm on the Tarrytown Environmental Advisory Council and the Greenwood Environmental Forum. And in my discussions with the people in Westport, Connecticut, because I went out there and discussed about this issue, they found that the food industry was very cooperative. So these folks are not adversaries.
Right.
What we have to be anticipating is the American chemical industry and the folks that make
plastic
bags.
We heard from them this morning.
Well, I wasn't here when they were here. So
We heard from them this morning.
Oh, okay. So if we want to get a taste of the arguments that will be given against it, I think you need to invite them here just so. Know thy opposition is the message. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Hello. I'm Phil Pepper.
Actually, Phil, let's go to the visitors first, if you don't mind.
I'm Ann Jeffy Holmes, Greenberg Nature Center and Greenberg Environmental Forum. I just wanted to point out that in the question of costs and the cost to the consumer of having to pay for a bag, what people, again, it's education, what people don't understand is that when a paper bag clogs a storm drain, for example, in my village of Irvington, the DPW has to spend $1,200 sometimes, up to $1,200 to clean out that storm drain, or we face a flood caused by a bunch of plastic bags in the storm drain. So there's already a cost to consumers of these plastic bags in our environment in a big way. And for the trucking of any kind of solid waste, we have to remember that just the collection of the recyclable plastic bags themselves is an environmental cost that we all share in terms of our air and in terms of traffic and wear and tear on the roads and everything else. Plus the manufacture of plastic bags and the pumping of oil to make the plastic bags, of course. So I want to encourage everyone to please look on the web at New York State's updated draft of their solid waste management plan for 2010. The title of it is Beyond Waste. And they're actually talking about the step that we have to take to move into material stewardship, where every product and every service has to take into account the entire lifespan of the materials involved, including disposal, so that there is no item on in our consumer culture that is not thought through what's going to happen when you're done with it. And those costs will no longer be externalized, so that it's just laid on the environment and the animals, plants, and our health to deal with the externalized costs. But they're included in the cost of the item or the service.
Yes, ma'am.
Can I just add one more comment, which is that I know we're waiting for things to happen, but I think there's an urgency we all feel that our environment is very fragile right now, and we have to act quickly. And we understand your positions, but I think we're all in this boat together, and companies, businesses, citizens, government, and we don't have that much time. So we should act quickly.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, as a visitor and a resident in Westchester, I totally agree with that.
Can you please just state your name for the record?
Sure.
Thank you.
I'm Mona Shamrick. I live in Rochelle, and I'm a resident. I'm very concerned about plastic. And cradle to cradle way to look at a product is totally right. And I used to live in different countries, and I'm telling you that from a human adaptation behavior, it's very easy to adapt. We're human. I mean, as soon as we have options, it's harder. So IKEA, when they switched to no bags, was very easy. I mean, there was no bag. Oh, next time I will bring my bag. I mean, many stores over the world are doing this. Coming back, I mean, in here, I mean, I'm like, why do we still have bags? It looks so ancient, I mean, so antique, that everyone in the world is changing to other behavior so quickly. And I feel that we're very backward in plastic behavior. And I think it will be a standard worldwide not to have a plastic. And it's not an option to offer plastic or 5 cents or 10 cents. Just no plastic. That's it. I mean, just think about it. Bring your bags. And that's it. No options.
Thank you. All right. Phil, we'll give you the last word.
I'll pass, thank you.
Are you sure? No,
sure.
Go ahead. I'll give you the last word.
Most of the comments that I would
have. I'll take the last word.
All right, Jim, we'll give Jim the last word, then we'll thank our guests. Since we've been talking.
I think the input from everybody was tremendous. I think we, as legislators, got a nice education on this issue today. This is something we've already waded into. We'd like to go into this deeper. But to me, there's a consensus for one thing today that has to happen immediate. And these other issues, as our last speakers just said, whether someday there'll be no bags, there'll be a 5 cent charge, all that stuff I think we still have to talk about.
Sure.
But the one thing we shouldn't talk about is that this county ought to really work together immediately on a better lead on public education. That's what we have to do tomorrow. Public education has to happen tomorrow. I mean, I feel very guilty sitting here. I didn't know that I could use my laundry bags at Stop and Shop. I can't believe I didn't know that. So, you know, if I didn't know it, lots of people don't know it. So we have to correct that. From the legislators on down to citizens, and I think that's something we county legislators and the administration and everyone else have to start tomorrow.
Can I get a postscript?
I got the last word.
I heard Jimmy before say that sometimes he forgets to, you will see me leaving the store with the shopping cart full because I left the bags in the car.
Oh, yeah.
And they look at me like, what's wrong with you? I say, I remember it. But I have, and you can get them free everywhere. I mean, all kinds of organizations give them out.
The recycling station.
Yeah.
Yeah. The
canvas.
Canvas. I got two car full. My wife's got a car full, and I've got a car full.
No, we should move to that exclusively, but it's going to take work.
But you forget to bring them in, so it would be helpful if the stores put a sign at the front entrance to the store, did you remember your shopping bag?
Stop and Shop does
that.
I guess I don't use Stop and Shop, but okay.
And Tom, read the sign.
We'll clearly do our part, but we really have to encourage people to be aggressive shoppers. If something goes in two bags, you know what I do? I'm a real pain in the pushy. When I shop, is you know I just take off the bag and I leave it there.
But you're an educated consumer.
Well, that's right. But we need to educate consumers.
That's what
we
I said.
Cannot. We just aren't going to be able to do it ourselves. So we all have to get people to be more certain when they shop and do those things. It's okay to do that.
We supply. That's it. Possibility.
Okay. All right. Thank you, everybody. Special thanks to Citizens Campaign for the Environment, the Food Industry Alliance. Thank you all for coming. As we said, this is not the end of the discussion, just the beginning. Thank you. Really appreciate it. Were there any minutes, Chris?
I don't have any.
Okay, fine. Do we have a motion to close?
So moved.
Second. All
right.
All right.
Good job, Peter.
It's 4:31. We're a minute over time.